Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
Don't write anyone off. We have a great God who loves the world. So great that his love came to very undeserving people like you and me. And the grace of God, God brought the gospel to you and to me. Have compassion for people. Share Christ. Go into the harvest field. Reach the lost for Jesus.
Welcome to The Verdict, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor John Monroe. Most people want to make a difference, but what does that mean to you? Today on The Verdict, we're being challenged to see people through the eyes of Jesus. At work, at school, or in your neighborhood, followers of Jesus Christ have the privilege and responsibility to be used by God in the lives of others. Here's Pastor John Monroe with his message, Reaching the Lost.
Have you noticed that opposition to the gospel and to the word of God is becoming sharper? Many churches are focusing less on biblical truth and substituting political commentary or social justice or prosperity platitudes. But how are we to interact with our world? Certainly not ignore it, certainly not become like it, as Christ calls us to be countercultural. Last time, we saw the Lord Jesus having a fascinating conversation with a Gentile woman, a pagan. We learned that we are to have a compassionate heart for all nations, for all cultures. We are to see people in terms of their need of a savior, rather than in terms of their ethnicity or political or social identity. Let's learn how to reach out to those who are different from us. Matthew chapter 15. Verse 21, Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she's crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord. Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. What a wonderful passage of scripture, isn't it? Reminding us that people of all nations, of all cultures need Jesus. Here is a woman, her people, the Canaanites, are enemies of the Jews. She's defiled, she's unclean, she's unholy. She's the most unlikely candidate for salvation. But she hears about Jesus. She realizes her need of Jesus, and she believes that Jesus has the power to cast out the demon. What does Jesus say? Verse 28, Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith." Now, as we think of the Lord dealing with this woman in these verses, you think of his compassion. Think of the Lord's compassion for all natures and all cultures. I wonder if we like that. I wonder how you would have dealt with this woman. I think many of us would have been like the disciples. Get away. I mean, you're a woman, you're an outcast, you're a Canaanite. I mean, go away. You don't belong to us. You're an outsider. You're not going to be part of following Jesus Christ. The fact is, Jesus is teaching his disciples that everyone needs salvation. Don't write people off. Don't limit God. Don't say this Canaanite woman should go away. Don't say she's intruding. I mean, who would have thought that this pagan Syrophoenician woman would trust in Jesus Christ? Men who had the Old Testament scriptures, who knew the law much, much better than this woman. They're rejecting Jesus. They will have nothing to do with him. They're conspiring, in fact, to kill him. And this very, very unlikely woman is now brought into the kingdom of heaven. How wonderful. Do you notice in the Gospels, the disciples want to send people away? Matthew 14:15, when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place." In other words, what are we doing here? Time to go home. "And the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go into the villages and buy food for themselves." I mean, let's get rid of them. We're tired of them. Send them away. Chapter 15, as we read verse 23, his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she's crying out after us." D.L. Moody says, "Jesus sent no one away empty except those who are full of themselves." Do you want to send away people? Do you keep your own little group? Do you ignore people who are different from you? I'm saying to you today, don't see people in terms of ethnicity, color, political or sexual identity or social status. See them in terms of their need for a savior. You know, our world, in fact, our country, more and more wants to divide us all up, doesn't it? But from a Christian perspective, we see people differently, don't we? We see people in need of a savior, whoever they are. People of all races, all religions and cultures and lifestyles. Abundant opportunities all around us. I'm going to ask you to reach out to someone who's different from you. Different ethnicity, different culture, different color of skin, different political persuasion. It's amazing how as Christians that sometimes we divide people even as to how they vote, as if that's the most important thing about us. Say, "Well, this person's a Democrat." Oh dear, a Democrat coming to church? I mean, how could you have a Democrat coming to church? Or how could you have one of these right-wing Trump guys coming to church? What are we going to do? Isn't it amazing? Again, the world is setting our agenda. And we forget the most important thing about people is not how they vote. It's not the color of their skin. It's not their language that they speak. It's their need of Jesus Christ. Lost people matter to Jesus and should matter to us, particularly those from other cultures. You acknowledge your prejudices. You're only sharing Jesus with your own group. See, the need is transcending. And our Lord Jesus Christ, this is wonderful. I love that title of Jesus, that he's the Savior of all the world. That he transcends all boundaries and nations and cultures and prejudices and social classes. He's the Savior of the world. And we read in Revelation 5:9, people will be ransomed for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. How wonderful. Now there's a second principle here. And it is to treat each person with compassion and understanding. Verses 29 through 31. And Jesus went on from there, walked beside the Sea of Galilee, and went up in a mountain and sat there, and great crowds came to him. One woman in Lebanon, but now great crowds come to him, bringing with him the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others. And they put them at his feet, and he healed them. One woman at his feet asking for mercy. People with all of their physical problems come and they sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus. So that the crowd wondered when they saw the mute speaking, the crippled healthy, the lame walking, the blind seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel. How wonderful. See, the gospel is for everyone, irrespective of situation or location. Yes, a solitary woman in the district of Tyre and Sidon meets Jesus, but now great crowds meet him by the Sea of Galilee. Different people with different needs. Did you notice it? The lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others. All are brought to Jesus, and he heals them all. And we're going to read in verse 32 that he has compassion for the crowds. And what do they do? Verse 31, they, Jew and Gentile, glorified the God of Israel. Will you build bridges to people, relate to them where they are? We're told that between 80 to 90% of new converts to the Christian faith are initially contacted by individual believers within their context of their neighborhood, their work, their school, people living their daily lives, you going around your daily life, going for a walk, going to the gym, going to the office, meeting people. 80 to 90% of people who come to Jesus Christ have their first contact, not through a church, not through listening to a radio or a television preacher, but by followers of Christ, getting to know people where they are and relating to them with compassion and understanding. Listen to Paul as he gives us instruction on this in Colossians 4, verse 5. Colossians 4, verse 5. He says, walk in wisdom toward outsiders, the lost. Have wisdom. Please have wisdom. Making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious. Please, please. You disagree with someone? Always be gracious. Seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Each person is different. So that person is different. You're wondering how you're going to have a conversation to them about Jesus. Ask for wisdom, so that you will know how to answer each person. And then Peter, in 1 Peter 3, verse 15, he says, in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, being always prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Do it with gentleness and respect. And respect means that if someone says, I appreciate what you're saying, I don't want to hear it, you can't force it, be respectful. They're individuals made in the image of God. And Jesus comes and he heals the mute and they give sight to the blind. Their voices now are used to glorify God. Their eyes see Christ. Is your tongue being used for God? Will you accept responsibility where God in his sovereign purposes has placed you? Jesus has told us earlier that we are to be salt and light. Not everyone will respond. There will be opposition. Yes, there will be. Don't expect everyone immediately to receive Christ. You're to sow seed. You're to display Christ. You're to be kind. You're to be loving. You're to be respectful to every single individual so that the love of Christ and the truth of Christ will circle the world. First principle, people of all nations and cultures need Jesus. Secondly, treat each person with compassion and understanding. Third, look to Jesus for supernatural power and resources. As you listen to me, you say, John, I understand this, and I think you're absolutely right. I should be telling more people about the Lord Jesus. I've got next door neighbors that I've never spoken to. I've got a colleague at work that we get on very well, but I've never shared Christ with him. And quite honestly, this is very, very difficult. You don't know the tough people I work with. And while I know I should do it, I don't know if I can handle this. All of us are there, aren't we? I'm saying, look to Jesus for supernatural power and resources. Verse 32, Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion on the crowd because they've been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat, and I'm unwilling to send them away hungry lest they faint on the way. Compassion. I hope you're compassionate. And the disciples said to him, where are we to get enough bread in such a desolate place? Notice how they always talk about the desolate place. We want to get home. We want to get back to Capernaum. This is a desolate place. Where are we going to get enough bread in such a desolate place to feed so great a crowd? Jesus said, how many loaves do you have? They said, seven and a few small fish. And directing the crowd to sit down on the ground, he took the seven loaves and the fish, and having given thanks, he broke them and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. Notice verse 37, and they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up seven baskets full of the broken pieces left over. Those who ate were 4,000 men beside women and children, and after sending away the crowds, he got into the boat and went to the region of Magadan. To meet the challenge, we need the Lord's help. We need his resources. The Syrophoenician prayed as we may pray, Lord, help me. I cannot do this by myself. Lord, we're in a desolate place. There's no stores. There's no shops. How can we have enough bread to feed this thousand? There's 4,000 plus women and children. I mean, this is utterly impossible. And all we have are these 7 loaves and a few fish. This is different from the feeding of the 5,000. This is the feeding of the 4,000. You understand it? In their own power and in their own resources, they're totally unable to meet the challenge. No resources, no shops, but did you notice with Jesus, every single person ate and was satisfied. The needs of the crowd are met and more. You've experienced this as a follower of Jesus, haven't you? You've asked for grace. You've asked for help. And the Lord gives you grace upon grace upon grace. So as the psalmist says, my cup overflows. I asked some of you how you're doing, and you say, I'm overwhelmed with the grace of God. You have experienced that in your family, in your life, haven't you? In a situation where God's grace has been poured on you. I've experienced that. Many of you have experienced that. You realize, I didn't deserve this. This is of God. It's not wonderful to see God at work. Now, think of the thousands around us. And we said, well, what can we do at church? The challenge is immense. I'm reminding you that the Lord's power and the Lord's resources are infinite. All that the disciples needed were given to them by God, by Jesus. What do you have? 7 loaves and a few fish. I can take that. I can use them. And he gives thanks and he multiplies and multiplies and multiplies. So here's my question for you. As you share Christ, are you drawing on the Lord's supernatural resources? You asking God for wisdom? You asking God for help? You asking God for his grace? You asking God to open doors? Are you asking God for the right words to speak to that person? Are you? Hudson Taylor said, all of God's great men have been weak men who did great things for God because they reckoned on his being with them. That's it. In ourselves, utterly inadequate. We cannot handle this God. That's good. That's good that you acknowledge that. Now, what do you have? Well, we've got 7 loaves and a few fish. Give that to me. What do you have? What resources do you have? What opportunities do you have? If you've got a home to be used for the Lord? You got contacts at business? Have you got unbelieving friends? What are your gifts? What are your talents? What are you good at? You can hit a golf ball pretty good. Who do you play with? You go to the gym to work out. You like that. God gives you the strength, the ability to do that. What about those next to you? What do you have in your hands? What's your situation? You're the leader of a project at work and you have an opportunity there. What's in your hands? Give them to the Lord. The Lord will multiply. The Lord will bless you amazingly. That is, you look to Jesus, you draw on his supernatural power. There's the old hymn that says, out of his infinite riches he giveth and giveth and giveth again. God, listen to this. God will give you all that you need to do his will. If you are honest before God, and you say, I want to do your will. I want to reach my neighbors. I want to communicate the gospel to this person. I want to be used by you, Lord. God will give you, I guarantee it, God will give you all of the resources, all of the wisdom, all of the power to do his will. The question is, are you going to do his will rather than your own? Who does the healing? The Lord. Who casts the demon out of the daughter of the Syrophoenician? Jesus. Who feeds the multitude? Jesus. Who does he use in the feeding of the 4,000? The disciples. And when we understand that by ourselves we can do nothing, that apart from abiding in the vine, we can do nothing, but as we abide in Christ, we will bear much fruit and we'll do that with much joy. So abide in Christ. I'm asking you to reach out to someone who's spiritually lost. I read this week that Americans' membership in houses of worship, that's churches, synagogues, mosques, not just Christian, but Americans' membership in houses of worship continued to decline last year, dropping below 50% for the first time in Gallup's eight-decade trend. In 2020, 47% of Americans said they belonged to a church, synagogue, or mosque, down from 50% in 2018, and in 1999, not all that long ago, 70% of people said they belonged to a house of worship. Now, it's 47. Less and less people going to church. I assume less and less people going to the synagogue. Probably more and more people going to the mosque. I don't know. But in terms of churches, now you realize that's dealing with all churches, liberal and conservative, whatever it is. Less and less people going to church. What an opportunity to invite someone. Barna research said on any Sunday morning, 1 out of 4 unchurched people would willingly attend a church service if a friend would invite them to do so. That unlikely character, that Syrophoenician woman, that person who really seems odd, who really seems out of it. Do you ever think of inviting them? Will you invite someone? Will you engage with someone? Will you share Christ? No, it's not just a matter of inviting people to church. That's a good step. But to build a bridge to them, to pray for the lost. Will you reach the lost? Will you trust God? Don't write anyone off. We have a great God who loves the world. So great that his love came to very undeserving people like you and me. And the grace of God, God brought the gospel to you and to me. Have compassion for people. Share Christ. Go into the harvest field. Reach the lost for Jesus. Help us to do that, we pray, our Father and our God. We confess, we get very comfortable in our own situation. We sometimes just deal with our own little group. Thank you for opening our eyes. Guide us. Help us, Father, we pray. May your mercy be on us. In Christ's name, amen.
You're listening to The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe and a lesson titled Reaching the Lost. If you missed any part of today's message, or you'd like to catch up on an earlier lesson from our current study in the Gospel of Matthew, be sure to visit our new website at theverdict.org. There you'll be able to easily browse and listen to any of these daily programs, along with related study materials and resources, including John's latest booklet titled Jesus Speaks on Marriage and Gender. In this timely resource, John presents the biblical principles that are central to these important current issues like divorce, transgenderism, and sexual identity. In a world so full of chaos and confusion, we need the truth of God's Word as we seek guidance, make decisions, and interact with others. So request your copy of this new resource today. Once again, it's all at theverdict.org. Here at The Verdict, we're committed to sharing the truth of God's Word and the good news of Jesus Christ every day, encouraging as many listeners as we can to trust and follow Jesus. And you can be a part of this gospel work by supporting our ministry with a gift of any amount. To give today, visit theverdict.org. And while you're there, don't forget to sign up for our free monthly email from John to stay in the loop on ministry updates and opportunities. And if you haven't already, be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter by searching for The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe.
Well, what's your verdict? When did you last speak to someone of a different ethnicity or culture? I'm challenging you to reach out to people who are different from you and who desperately need to know the Lord Jesus Christ. As followers of Jesus, we are to be compassionate and respectful to everyone. Draw on the power and love of the Lord Jesus as you tell others that God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Reach out to the lost with the love of God.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.